Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, evoking the soul of the nations. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy. And those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The problem of the interplay and interaction of the nations is largely a psychological one. The soul of a nation is potent in its effect. The national thought form, built up over the centuries by the thinking, the goals and the ambitions of a nation, the national thought form constitutes its ideal objective and is most effective in conditioning the people. Most of us probably aren't accustomed to thinking of nations as having a soul. But this is the view of the ageless wisdom, right? Maybe you can say more about this, Sarah and Dale?
Yes. The ageless wisdom sees not only individuals, but groups and even nations as a dual expression, we could say, as the expression of the outer appearance, which we call the personality, the most obvious and exterior presentation of one's qualities to the world, and the inner underlying spiritual component, which is the soul. Nations, like individuals, are dual expressions of both aspects, the inner spiritual destiny, which is seeking to work out through the individual or the nation, and the outer presentation of the face to the world. Our program last time was on the United Nations, and the UN itself was formed, I think, as an expression of the soul of nations. It came out of the trauma and the terrible suffering and hardship of the World War, where the violence and the death and the trauma and the displacement of peoples and the upheaval of whole societies was such that the nations realized that they had to come together to assure a more safe and a more prosperous and a more rightly oriented future for everyone. And to me, that idea that the United Nations was founded on is an expression of the soul, because the soul is group conscious. Innately, intuitively, naturally group conscious. Alice Bailey says we cannot think of my soul and your soul. There is only the soul, which expresses or seeks to express through all of us. And the soul is free of those barriers and divisions because it's conscious of its inner relationship and its responsibility for the whole.
Right, and the soul of a nation comes through the soul of its people. And it's the kind of the collective amalgamation of all of those individuals who are, if they're focused, within their own souls, then they will be speaking and acting in a soul manner. And that is how the soul of a particular nation will begin to manifest itself. Every nation is also governed by, two of the seven rays. We've talked about these ray qualities in the past. And each nation, or among the major nations of the world, have a personality ray and a soul ray. And these are the great spiritual impulses that begin to shape the life within a particular nation. And they kind of determine the quality that will be expressed by that particular nation, either now or in the future.
So. Ideally, the leaders of nations are the best exponents of that soul quality. They are ideally the ones who sense that national destiny, the destiny of the people, and are able to articulate it and hold it as a vision before the eyes of the people, as a constant worthy goal worth unifying and striving for. The worst leaders, of course, don't understand the soul and don't respond to it, and they express sometimes the lowest and most self-serving and separative aspects of the national psyche. A nation is the expression of a psychological attitude, just as an individual is, and just as each of us has our good components and our bad qualities, and we are a mixture of high and low, so are nations. And the real spiritual role of the leader is to express and ignite aspiration to fulfill the soul of the nation, of the people. I can think of a few leaders who have done this. I'm reading a book now about Franklin Roosevelt, FDR. I think he did that both during the Depression and the New Deal that followed, and during the war. Churchill was another example. Probably Ataturk of Turkey. Those are examples of leaders that gave voice to the soul.
Yes, and I was thinking of Abraham Lincoln, perhaps.
Absolutely.
I mean, he evoked the soul of a whole people, a race of people, and that brought them, brought them a sense of freedom and justice. And so we do have these initiate kind of leaders that do appear from time to time when there is a need, a real need. And they kind of speak for the destiny of that country, because the soul ray determines the future destiny, or the quality that should be manifesting through that nation in the future. And the personality ray may express what that nation is expressing at the present time, and among the masses of people. So, I mean, just as within an individual, we have the personality, and we also have our own individual destiny involved in the qualities of the soul. So it's the same with a nation, a whole, which is an amalgamation of millions of people. And it is their soul speaking when they are reaching for the highest quality that is to be expressed by that nation.
There's an interesting statement in the writings of Alice Bailey about the soul of the nation. She said that the soul ray of the nations must be evoked into increased activity by those people who express the values of the new group of world servers, which is that subjective network of all people who are committed to service to their environment, to their nation, to the world, The new group of world servers are those who live selfless lives oriented toward the well-being of the common good, and their task is to sense the soul ray of their nation. So by that, I think she's implying that the soul ray of the nation, the higher destiny, isn't obvious to the average man in the street. He wouldn't probably respond to it because he himself is still fulfilling his development as a personality, as an individual, as a unique and separated identity. But if those of us who believe in a spiritual destiny can begin to sense what we think is the higher values, the spiritual responsibility of the nation, and give voice to that, we can contribute a real service.
Right, and it's trying to tune in to what this particular nation should be expressing in the world, and that, of course, comes through the soul ray of the nation. And each of the rays presents a particular quality, an idea, that essentially it's God that is trying to manifest his own plan through the people of a nation. So each of the rays, and this is a little complicated, I guess, but each of the rays conveys a certain idea that is within the mind of God to express. And so you find these particular qualities already manifesting, and if you look hard, you can see them manifesting through the quality of a nation.
For example, the soul of the United States is said to be governed by the second ray of love and wisdom. And to me, the perfect example of that is the Statue of Liberty. People might find that kind of amusing, but it's such a national symbol. But Emma Lazarus, the poet, I think, tuned in on what that gift of France, the Statue of Liberty, spoke to in the nation's soul. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And I think, in fact, the Chinese name for this country was or is the Golden Door, or else the West Coast cities, the area of San Francisco, was known as the Golden Door, the land of promise, of opportunity, and of acceptance, ideally, of all people. And what's going on now in this nation with the questioning of the right of immigrants to come into this country and become citizens? Well, each of us can take that into our consciousness and think about whether that expresses the soul of our nation or not. It's rather troubling to some of us.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, evoking the soul of the nations. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Destiny of the Nations. The Destiny of the Nations is a recognition of the soul destiny of nations, and it has a practical value for today in our search for international understanding. The Destiny of the Nations explains how a nation can be an expression of spiritual energies just as an individual can. All nations have a destiny, which seeks expression through the national soul. It's available today for $12, and a discount comes in form of free shipping if you mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So what you need to do, if you'd like to purchase the book, the Alice Bailey book, The Destiny of the Nations, is send a check or money order, $12, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We do greatly appreciate your donations. They're tax deductible, and that's what helps to keep us on the air. And so if you'd like to see us continue doing these shows, please continue to make your donations. Send donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. All of our Nusite programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. That's www.lucistrust.org. Now, if you if you're at all confused about what Dale was talking about before, about the Rays, Sarah and Dale did a series of about 8 shows on the Rays. They're extremely interesting, and you'll be totally enlightened as to what he means by the Rays, which he just mentioned in today's show. So on the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, also so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. If you need to get in touch with us for any reason, by phone, you can call us at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Now, before we continue with our topic for today, which is evoking the soul of the nations, I just want to inform people that our next symposium will be about the theme of today's show. So maybe Sarah can say a few words about that.
Yes, on Saturday afternoon, November 10th, here in New York, we're holding a symposium sponsored by World Goodwill, which is our service activity linked with the United Nations Department of Public Information. And we're going to have a number of talks, including an opening talk on revealing the soul through spiritual living, another talk on the cultural challenges of building right human relations by one of our co-workers who was a Peace Corps volunteer in Ukraine and spent last summer doing graduate work in international development in Sudan. We'll have as our guest speaker Marco Toscano Rivolta, who is Humanitarian Affairs Officer with the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Human Affairs, and he'll be speaking on evoking the soul of the nations as a collective act of will through the United Nations. And in addition, we're having a panel discussion of 3 people on the compelling forces behind global migration. These 3 people are themselves immigrants to the U.S., so they will be speaking from first-hand experience about what is entailed in being a newcomer to a country and learning to adapt to the culture and the psychology of a new nation. We'll have opportunity for group discussion and meditation, and everyone is welcome to come. There's no charge for the symposium, but we do rely on donations. And if you want to come, it would be very helpful if you'd let us know in advance. You can register on our website at www.lucistrust.org. You can see the symposium program on our website, or call us locally at 212-292-0707 to let us know you plan to come.
Who was it? Thoreau, who said, "I am what I am and what my nation has made of me," which more or less is in sync with what you're saying today.
Yes.
Because we think of ourselves as independent individuals.
Oh, yes. But when unique works
yeah,
of
but
God.
When we grow up, and I guess maybe you can comment on that. This actually, I couldn't stop thinking about the thought for today, and I'm wondering about the impact that my nation has had on me in determining mm-hmm. the course of my personality and individuality. And I bet if I really had the ability to scratch the surface, I'd find that a lot of me is a result of where I grew up in
yes.
the United States.
Yes, you're a product of the society and of the school system. I don't want to say we're all indoctrinated, but in a sense we are. That's what happens to everyone. Alice Bailey, in fact, touched on that. She said every nation has a particular psychology, a particular mindset. And the psychological problem involved has a background, she said, which is centuries old, which is inherent in the soul of each individual nation and which is potently conditioning the minds of all their people today. So just by being born into a particular society, you're entering into that psychological frame of reference. And when you think about it, we are all conditioned to believe that our nation is special and wonderful and should prevail over any other nation that might want to infringe on our rights and our freedom of expression. Freedom is a particular value that I think is drummed into us as Americans. It's just something we think is as natural as breathing. And we then try to transport that value and inject it into other societies which aren't necessarily ready to interpret it in the same way we do. Every nation has its particular mindset. It's quite fascinating, and I think this study of the psychology of groups and nations is developing now.
Right, and I think you see it very strongly through the United States, through the personality nature of the United States. Maybe the soul, well, the soul quality is there too, and sometimes it comes into conflict with the personality nature, but the personality ray of the United States is the sixth ray of idealism, and you can see that very strongly. That's the main idea that's come through this, the sixth ray is this idea of freedom and the ideal of rights and freedom of speech and so on. That all of that goes back to our very beginning. And so that is the thought form, the psychological thought form that has been built up over the centuries over this nation. And that, so anyone coming in, being born into this or immigrating to this these shores comes into this great thought form of freedom. In fact, many of them are drawn here by the ideal. But as you say, it's an ideal that sometimes we try to push on other nations of the world who are not quite ready to accept this ideal, or at least the way we see it. So that is a way in which a personality expression is coming through a nation. And you can see this in other nations as well. I mean, this is the same kind of very strong personality nature, or the soul nature, the soul quality is there. It's beginning to be shown through the activities of the people, and also in the United States, that same soul ray of love, wisdom, this comes through in our ability to share, to help, and to serve other parts of the world where we see a need. And so that is also the quality of the soul coming through.
Yes, the soul of the nation is present, but a lot of the time I think it's eclipsed. And I'm not speaking only of this nation, but all nations. It's eclipsed by the desire to affirm the national identity and the national uniqueness. Just as in an individual, the personality of a developing human being becomes stronger and stronger. As one approaches the spiritual path, the personality can become almost overbearing in its potency and its effort to emphasize its unique, separative identity, its specialness. So it happens with a nation. And this works against the expression of the soul. Alice Bailey points out how nations are colored by hatreds and prejudices. And when you think about it, yes, most people from childhood on are taught to recognize who their enemies are, their national enemies. And the school system, the society kind of drums this into us. I can remember as a girl being taught of the evils of communism, and in many ways communism was evil, but it became a kind of a stereotype that had to be cracked and broken through in the era of the late 80s and early 90s when Gorbachev and Yeltsin were leading the Soviet Union when it went through its breakup and Russia became separated, all the different nations that had made up the Soviet Union broke off, and communism was completely reconsidered. We all had to reconsider whether that was still our enemy. And these are powerful conditioning thought forms.
And you see this destruction going on in the nations, and this is necessarily perhaps has to happen because it is all thought forms that have to be broken up and smashed and shattered in order to make way for the higher spiritual values of that nation to come through. And we saw that with the smashing of the communist ideal in Russia, and also coming out of the total devastation of World War II, there was tremendous destruction of old thought forms there that had to be broken up, and that's one of the great values that came out of that that horrendous destruction. But there was a lot of good that came from it, because, you know, the United Nations was one of those new thought forms, new ideas that emerged.
I think possibly the United States is going through a period where something is being broken down that has been taken for granted for so many decades and centuries. There's a humbling experience that I think is in front of this country, and that's probably all to the good. And it's going to be painful, but it will lead this country more into the community of nations, and that's what every nation has to join. If there's anything that globalization is telling us, it's that no nation can stand apart. Look at poor Burma, Myanmar, and how it's suffering now. It thinks it can be an island in the world community of nations, and its people are suffering terribly. It just can't be possible anymore for nations to go against the will of the international community. And that means every nation has to suspend some of its old ideals and values and take on board new values that might not have conditioned the thinking of the people, and it's all to the good, I think. Alice Bailey said, "We must not make the lines of cleavage wider by placing ourselves and all who follow our form of ideology on the side of the forces of light and thinking everybody else who thinks differently belongs to the forces of darkness." Maybe that can color the thinking of each of us.
Please take advantage of our special offer. The special offer is from Lucis Publishing Company, and it's the Alice Bailey book, The Destiny of Nations. The Destiny of Nations is a recognition of the sole destiny of nations, and it has a practical value for today in our search for international understanding. The Destiny of Nations explains how a nation can be an expression of spiritual energies, just as an individual can. All nations have a destiny which seek expression through the national soul. It's available for $12. What you need to do to take advantage of the special offer, this discounted price, is send a check or money order to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.